Greetings everyone, and welcome to our podcast. In today's installment, we're going to be talking about virtual reality, its frequent use in gaming, the risk, but also its alternate applications outside of the entertainment industry. My name is Chum, and I'm the host with today's guest for the topic of VR, Yannick. As I've just mentioned, I will start us off with one main use of virtual reality in today's society, which any of you listening should already know of, or at least heard about, gaming. After several decades of video game studios and companies trying to enhance the immersion which video games could have, virtual reality is the next big and most important step in that department, as you can now put yourself into the world of the game itself. I mean, come on, a good amount of people have most likely dreamed about going into the world of a video game itself, and this might be the closest thing we'll ever get to fulfilling their dream. At least for now, I mean, given how far the technology is right now. Now, some of you have most likely already heard about some VR titles, such as Half-Life: Alyx or Beat Saber. Although there isn't a definitive statement about which genres are preferred on VR games, except person games, obviously, because that's kind of the point of VR, to be honest. The most successful and well-known games usually range from simulation-like titles, horror games, games that are so unique in their concept that they wouldn't really work outside of VR at all, but one of the most important features is immersion. And to explain immersion, at least in the sense of virtual reality, it's the mental state in which your perception of the real world gets overlapped by a virtual world in such a way that the virtual world is perceived as more real than the actual real world. But the immersion in virtual reality is not, you know, actually true immersion, in my opinion at least, because true immersion would essentially not only cover your audible and visual senses, but also your other senses like smelling, touching, and so on. So as of now, true immersion with things like virtual reality are just, you know, part of science fiction for now, and also dreaming and concepts, I guess. And to talk about a specific example of a simple VR game, I will talk a bit about the game Beat Saber. Now, to explain the concept of Beat Saber, it's in the game you have two swords in each hand for, you know, both controllers. With each sword being colored differently. During each stage or level of the game, cubes fight you in rhythm with a certain song of the stage, which also have the color of either of your swords, and you have to hit or slash these cubes with the sword, which has the same color as the cubes. So say a red cube flies at you, and you have a blue and red sword, you have to slash your cube, the red cube, with your red sword, or else it would be counted as your mistake. And you also have to do this, and depending on your, you know, the symbol of the cube, you can either slash it from any direction you want, or you have to slash it from a specific cardinal direction, so left, right, up, down. And that's essentially the main concept of the game. So you have to move both your arms to hit the cubes of the right sword in rhythm, but also exercising the necessary accuracy in the way that you have to pay attention to the direction you're slashing from. And so Beat Saber is essentially a very simple but also a very unique game, as it plays completely differently from pretty much any other rhythm game on the market right now, because I think it's the only rhythm based VR game on the market right now. Now, to get a bit into the more or less technical or practical way virtual reality itself, or at least the gaming VR sets work, it's very simple actually, it's not that complicated, so I'm going to explain it a bit for those of you who don't actually know. So the way VR set actually works is pretty simple. So basically you put in your headset, which includes a screen strapped right before your eyes, or where your eyes would be, and this screen essentially surrounds your entire vision, so wherever, no matter you know how you move your eyes, you only see the screen of and the in the example of gaming VR set, the game itself. Then depending on whether you actually bought them with the VR set or not, you also have two controls for each hand, which serve as your hands in the virtual world to interact with the virtual world, because your the technology sadly isn't far enough that you can just you know move your hand around and interact with the world directly. I think as of now it would be very inaccurate and also not very functional. And at least, but last but definitely not least, there are usually motion trackers which have to be installed somewhere above you, which check all your other movements outside, you know, that aren't moving your head or moving your hands, like when you, you know, crouch down or something, or like go on your knees and so for a specific game. So the game can actually process these movements and also more or less translate them into the engine of the game, so they can register all your movements for more fluid and also more accurate experience. And the result of this is complete visual immersion, but and also obviously audible immersion, because it's still a headset, so it also includes your like headphones. But anyways, you can now freely move and interact with the virtual world due to your VR set, but obviously you can't really move completely freely around, because there's still the real world and the laws of physics still apply to you, even if you just see the virtual world. So you should still make sure that the space you use to play the game is completely safe for you and from you, in case you just don't just walk and trip over like a small chair or something you left, or knock over like a cup of tea over from the table and break it. So you should still make sure of that. Speaking of the possibility of accidents, my partner Yannick is going to go over some of the risks and dangers you should be aware of when using virtual reality in just any capacity.
Thank you for inviting me today, Chung. And talking about knocking something over, forgetting that the real world can collide with your actions in the VR is only one of a few points that can harm you or your surroundings. While knocking over a TV sure hurts your bank account, it doesn't have any impact on your health. But there is a phenomenon called virtual environment sickness or cyber sickness that can occur when playing in VR for extended periods of time. The symptoms are similar to motion sickness, reaching from general discomfort to headaches, nausea, and vomiting. It is caused by the perception of movement your brain has. Your eyes see yourself moving or your field of view changing, while your nervous system tells you that you're standing still or sitting down. This misperception of self-movement then causes the effects mentioned. Cyber sickness goes away after a little time and doesn't leave any lasting effects. On the other hand, the prolonged use of VR headsets can permanently harm your eyesight. The effects vary from raising the probability of nearsightedness to tracking issues and muscle twitching. The effects are most severe on children and teens, since their eyes are still developing. As a solution, many manufacturers recommend taking breaks after 1 hour and earlier if you are feeling unwell. But despite all the listed effects, virtual reality can, if handled correctly, be completely harmless and helpful even outside the entertainment branch. The US and the UK military, for example, use VR for training purposes in the US Navy, the Royal Navy, the Air Force, and for realistic combat training for infantry. The methods involving virtual reality have proven to be much more efficient when it comes to training decision-making or operating expensive machines. But the military recruits aren't the only ones learning with VR equipment. Due to the higher engagement rate, the reduced training expenses, and the safety when it comes to high-risk situations, it's used in all kinds of fields. Walmart uses STR IVR to prepare its employees for the customer rush on Black Friday. Yes, you heard that right. And BP, an oil company, uses Igloo vision technology to train their employees for emergencies at refinery house. It's also very practical for surgery simulation, since no patients are at risk from inexperienced surgeons. But there are applications other than training as well. Ford uses Gravity Sketch to produce car mock-ups in 3D, which lets the designer directly sketch from their imagination. So you see, VR is a very useful tool in all industry branches. That's it for my part. Thank you for listening, and off to Trung for a short conclusion.
Alright then, time to wrap this up. So, in summary, VR is a great thing. It is the next big step in immersion, an ability which is invaluable for both video games, but especially simulations for training of all kinds, both in and outside of the military, which should not only be more effective, but is usually much less expensive depending on the area where the training is used. But whatever you put on that headset, you should never forget that our world still exists and that you're very much still in it, so you know, make sure that the area around you is clear of your breakable objects. And just like from your PC, break every once in a while isn't such a bad idea too. You know, at least take a short rest every few hours, because you should remember it's still a monitor strapped very, very closely to your eyes, so you should think about whether that's very healthy for prolonged times. But sadly, as of now, virtual reality is more of a very expensive luxury, at least for private use. So you should still pay attention to your wallet when considering to buy a VR set, as decent ones can go for several thousand euros and dollars, or you know, even much, much more. So anyways, this is it for today's installment of our podcast, and I wish you a very nice day. Goodbye.